Amen. Thank you so much. Take your Bibles, if you would, and find the Old Testament book of Proverbs. We'll be in Proverbs chapter 1, beginning with verses 1 through 7 to begin with. If you've been in Psalms lately, take a right. You'll find Proverbs 1. And thank you so much to our praise band leading us in worship. Appreciate the camp songs. I'm a little bit older. I remember Kumbaya and Pass It On, so it was a little bit different maybe than those, but I've been know of those as well. So thank you so much. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or imagine. He does it time and time again. It was a Wednesday of this week, Wednesday afternoon, that we received word that if we could get some things together for the hurricane victims, transport be heading out early Friday morning. I thought, well, we probably could get the word out, maybe get a pickup truck full. I thought that. Staff thought, well, let's try to fill the bus. And then you thought, let's fill it twice. So filled the bus twice in 24 hours, and I'm sure there'll be other opportunities for us to be able to help. We're going to pray for today for those who have been involved in the hurricane flooding and those sorts of things, and look for opportunities and ways in which we might be able to. Also, at the end of the service today, we'll kind of let you be ready and be known for that once a year, have our deacon selection. And this is it. Been preparing for that last two or three weeks. And you've seen list of some names, simply men in our church. And so it is up to the Parkway members and now to make that selection. We're going to pray about that. We appreciate our deacons, our servant leaders. We have wonderful and great men who support me and the staff, support the church, the work of the church, and our servants in the church. And we appreciate them rotating off, on and off every 3 years. So we got a few more to rotate on the next year, but we'll be voting on those, getting ready for today. So you be preparing your hearts, and if you're a guest today, we'll give you an opportunity maybe to make a, you can just watch, or you can make a smooth transition even out of here if you'd like to at that point. So you'll be certainly ready for that. But welcome to God Camp, session one, Bible skills from Proverbs, which will include our time here on Sunday mornings and also a daily time for you. You may have some other surprises during the month of October. And so we are glad that you're here today. We're beginning Proverbs at the beginning, chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. This now is the Word of God, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equality, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. The one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. May the Lord bless the reading of His holy word today. Some people just don't get it, and I understand that. Most men, and some ladies I'm sure do, that when you walk into a hardware store or to a building supply store, you begin to look around and you see things that you maybe have never thought of before, but suddenly it becomes a necessity that you have to have it, a tool for your tool shed, something that you need to have, and you've got to have this, and you can daydream and think, oh, how can I get this? Are you ready for it today? Or you go in to buy one thing, but instead of just the one thing, you come out with several things that you didn't intend to buy. Or, as is sometimes the case, wives, how many times has your husband gone in for the one thing? They bought a lot of things, but forgot the very thing in which they were going to go after. And they know this. If they could just get you inside the store, they know that you're going to have a hard time leaving without something. Or how about the store that has the popcorn? As soon as you walk in, the hardware store, the popcorn, because for some people, it's better than a movie. You can eat the popcorn. Oh, I need this. I got to have that. I wonder if that'll fit in my shed. Maybe I need a new shed. There's no way that you can come in and you can go out without buying something. I feel like I should get commissioned for saying all this. This morning, I want you to have the same kind of desire when it comes to the spiritual, biblical tools that God wants to have for you today. Some of these tools we've talked about, and we'll talk about some of these things today that you really need for today as we talk about biblical skills. Maybe for you and your family. Some of these things you may not need particularly today, but you may need it someday. So you want to be able to keep these things handy. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7 serves as kind of an introduction to the introduction. Actually, it's about 9 chapters of introduction in Proverbs. We'll talk about later, but from the wisest man who ever lived, except for Jesus. first nine chapter service, that full introduction of Solomon's Proverbs, mostly from Solomon, some from others. But the first seven verses lets us know why he is writing. Did you notice? So that we might know wisdom and instruction, giving knowledge to the simple and to the youth, and so that the older and the wiser may continue in learning, they might be able to have guidance in what they know. Today we're going to focus on wisdom, particularly for the family, and also this month, to give you fair warning, maybe introduction, maybe be ready. We also want to be able to find wisdom for this church, particularly for the church that the Lord has us in, wisdom for how we might respond to our community and the world in which we live, and in particularly wisdom for you and I, that we might be more like Jesus, all the while with a full understanding that we're not there yet. We're not living God's ideal. We're not perfect, nor are our families. The traditional family used to be described as a mom and dad who are raising their own biological children, where the dad goes off to work every day, the mom stays home, takes care of children and the home. I read somewhere that that's less than 3% of America today. Is God's word still practical? Is it relevant for families? Is what we do and what we teach at church out of touch with today's family? Well, I propose that God's word is practical and relevant for every family and every person, regardless of the makeup. Even if you're part of a traditional family or a blended family or part of a family in whom you feel is broken or is beyond repair, we want to continue to be a church where people can come and they can bring their families, where they can feel comfortable, know that this is a place that is secure both physically and spiritually, where they can find help and hope. They can be welcome regardless of your age or any crisis that comes along. We'll continue to offer courses and messages and retreats and opportunities to grow and to help to find the Lord's way in a very gracious way. But also, you as members of Parkway Baptist Church, as part of the family of God, you need to be intentional on being able to find the tools that you need in order to help your family so that they can be all they can be in Christ and discover more about God's purpose. So today, we're going to look at several passages from the book of Proverbs to discover wisdom and discernment for your family as you keep putting tools in your family toolbox. The book of Proverbs are not necessarily promises as much as they are general principles and understandings to be applied to my life and your life, regardless of our circumstance. Sometimes, a verse will simply declare a truth. At other times, the proverb will give instruction to follow. Some of the conclusions and some of the ways to follow are very simple and easy to understand, some not so much. Now, we've encouraged you to make Proverbs a part of your daily reading and your quiet times this week as you're having your Bible study, that you read a proverb a day. I encourage you, today's the 6th of October, so maybe today, if you've not already, you want to read Proverbs 6 and be sure to read one a day that corresponds, or however you feel like doing that, particularly if you're looking for wisdom. Wisdom dealing with not just the family, but all relationships, decisions that you need to face today, or wisdom on how you might be more like Christ. I challenge you to see how God can show you his discernment and his wisdom. Proverbs 1:7, it's one of those proverbs stating the truth but giving instruction at the same time. This is the truth repeated often in the book. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of instruction. Now, godly fear is not meant that you are not able to approach God. In fact, the writer of Hebrews tells us that we're to approach the throne of grace with boldness and confidence to help us in our time of need. At the same time, to have such respect and awe of the Almighty that we pay heed, give attention to, and listen to his instruction with great anticipation, that's the beginning of wisdom. James tells us in his book, said, if you need wisdom and discernment, then call out to God, and he wants to give that wisdom to us generously. But for those who do not fear the Lord, or those who are not ready to follow, it's as pearls before swine, ready to be. Godly wisdom will be trampled on by those who have ears but refuse to listen. So this serves also as a kind of warning today, for today and for the coming weeks that we have. These are the very words of God and could be the wisdom that you need particularly for today and that you've been looking for. But without the godly fear and the respect and the recognition of the awesomeness of God and his word, the words will literally go in one ear and out the other. even now, may we prepare our hearts and our minds to hear from God, even now as we look at putting toolbox to use for the family to be able to use in these Proverbs for the family. So if you've got your notes, you may want to follow along, tools for your family toolbox. Here are some Proverbs, particularly for the family. Here are some verses that we'll go along with those. We'll look at the first one. Proverbs 15:17 says this, "Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it." Better vegetables or a small, humble meal than a T-bone steak or what they call that, Wagyu beef, if one comes with love and the other does not. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 1, "Better is a dry morsel with quiet than a house full of feasting with strife." Let me ask you, when your family gets together and y'all eat somewhere at the house or maybe go to a restaurant, is it a loud meeting or is it a quiet meeting that takes place? I can tell you, on my side of the family, when brothers and sister-in-laws and cousins and grandchildren all get together, we're a loud group. Particularly, we go to a restaurant, we can be a pretty loud group. I will tell you now, my wife's family, on the other hand, they're a little more civil. They can sit with one another, and they actually talk to the person sitting next to them, probably like most people should do. And every now and then, we get together, maybe after a child's graduation, and we'll all go out to eat, and we'll all be at one big table or maybe one part of the restaurant, and it's a great contrast because there is my family, and they're up and down. They're talking to people two tables over sometimes and very loud. Yes, we are the obnoxious family in the restaurant next to my wife's family, who sitting there being very civil and talking to one another. Well, thank goodness it's a happy loudness. There's nothing wrong with loudness if it's not caused by strife or arguments. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 1 says this, "The wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down." Solomon is praising this wise woman who set on building up her family rather than tearing it down. And then from Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 and 19, and this is actually one of our Proverbs for today, it says, "There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him." The middle verses there mentions five of those: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil. Then verse 19 mentions again, a false witness who breathes out lies, the six of the seven things, and then number seven, the one who sows discord among brothers. And speaking of brothers, surely they were talking about the Jewish brethren that Solomon would have been writing to at that time. We make application now that it is among Christian brothers and sisters in Christ, all those who belong to the Lord, that the Lord certainly is not pleased when there's disunity among brothers and sisters in Christ. But also, he is sad when it happens in Christian families. So we want to do the opposite. We want to strive for unity. Well, how do we do that? Well, you've got your notes there. You pursue peace by pursuing Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Pursue peace by pursuing Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Will there be conflict in your family? Probably so. But by pursuing Christ, we can know that peace that surpasses understanding in our own heart, which in many cases would not be possible without a living relationship with Him. Regardless of your home life, you're to seek to be a peacemaker. You might remember that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." In other words, this is a characteristic and attribute of those who belong to Jesus. And while you cannot make decisions for the rest of your family, as far as it depends upon you, you are to be at peace with everyone you can, especially in the home. Now, we're going to look at a lot of Proverbs, but here's a bonus proverb maybe for this particular section. And it says this in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 20 and 21, "For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisper, quarreling ceases. As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife." Whisperer probably means someone who is a gossip or maybe a busybody. But think of conflict in the home like a burning fire. You can either add to the fire, throw another log on, in other words, add to the conflict, or you could just simply wait and maybe let it burn out, or as the proverb says, you can actually take wood off the fire by your words and by your actions, by pursuing peace. So many things, of course, we could say, but here are some tools through Proverbs for husbands and wives. For husbands and wives. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4. It says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who brings shame is like rottenness in his bones. Let's focus on the excellent wife part here for just a moment. God's intention is for husbands and wives to compliment one another. Not necessarily to give compliments, although that's a good thing as well. But in other words, they are to help one another so that we might both be able to fulfill God's purpose, partnering together for Christ. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22 says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. How grateful we are for our wives. Proverbs gives praise to wives and ladies for the role they play in the homes and in kingdom building. We do so as well. Husbands and wives need to be appreciative of their spouses and see the family for those who are married as part of God's plan. Now, we've talked before, and we'll talk again, and even today, about those who are single or those who are single again, about God using you. Several times in Proverbs, along this line, we come across some of the same subject. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 13 says this, a foolish son is ruin to his father, and a wife's quarreling is a continual dripping of rain. Proverbs 21 and verse 9 says this, it's better to live in a corner of the housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. Proverbs 21, 19, it's better to live in a desert land than with a quarrelsome and fretful woman. Proverbs 27, 15, a continual dripping on a rainy day and a quarrelsome wife are alike. Is everybody okay? Solomon wrote this. Not me, of course. Solomon wrote this. Hopefully, as he's writing this, you know, since it is God's word, we hope, we feel like he probably wrote this before he went to the dark side and had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And we recognize that as he is writing this, and this is one of those proverbs that makes a statement, and we're to be asking, well, what kind of conclusion should we make? What can we infer? If I did not think that this would help, I would not have brought it up. What can we learn? Could it be? Well, be sure that you marry the right person. Could it be? Men, be thankful like me. This is not your wife. We also can conclude that it's not just women or wives who can be quarrelsome. So if you're a spouse who is prone to arguments or disagreements, you can disagree without being disagreeable. Regardless, you can seek to love in such a way that the other can know that they can trust you and trust how they feel, and they will not, you will not stop loving them. Oftentimes, quarrels in marriage or family come because of lack of trust, that the other person doesn't have their best interest at heart. Let your spouse know that you love him or her and want what is best for them. But then Solomon, who also wrote these things, wrote the Proverbs 31 lady in Proverbs 31, verses 10 and 12. It says, an excellent wife who can find, she's far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. A godly wife, a godly wise husband or wife knows that you can be trusted. You want them to do good and not harm for the rest of their life, and it's not going to change. How can they know this, or how can you do this and follow these instructions? Well, you pursue love and faithfulness. You pursue love and faithfulness by pursuing Jesus, the rock of salvation. Godly unconditional love is not just something we say, but we show it by our faithfulness to one another so that they can trust our motives, our actions, and intentions. If marriage is a picture of Christ and the church, then Jesus exemplifies love and faithfulness in marriage. He is our rock, and we can trust him. He's faithful to us in all things. So too should we be faithful and proven trustworthy to our spouse with our affection, with their feelings, and with forgiveness. And here's a bonus proverb after reading this week. In Proverbs chapter 3, came across this verse about love and faithfulness. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. And maybe here's a bonus proverb for lots of things, but also maybe particular in marriage and in the home. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. So sometimes we recognize that silence is golden. Maybe particularly, and I can speak for the men, sometimes you need to keep your mouth shut. So moving on, because we need to, we're kind of just hitting the tip of the iceberg on what Proverbs says, but tools for parents, tools for parents, and even more, you see where we're going here. But Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 12 says, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father, the son he delights in. Many, the passage will deal with the importance of discipline. Whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Discipline is an act of love. Proverbs 17:2. A servant who deals wisely will rule over a son who acts shamefully. Proverbs 19:8. Chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Some of our favorite of the Proverbs. Recognizing as we're looking at this passage, this is a principle that we find in God's Word, that Proverbs write. It's not necessarily a promise, but you know, we want our children to go in the way of the Lord. We sure want to give them a fighting chance by raising them up in a godly manner. Proverbs 22:15 says this, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Obviously, the writer of Proverbs was not against corporal punishment, nor were my mom and dad, nor were we as our children were coming along, but you need to understand much more when I was a child than when my children were coming along, because probably I deserved it more than they did. But just in case you're wondering if this is more of a metaphor for something else, Proverbs 23 and verse 13. Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. Is everybody okay? Most people understand this to mean that if you spank a child, it's not going to kill him. But probably it's more along the lines that if you will practice discipline, that you truly may save him physically and spiritually. Physically, keep him from running in traffic. Spiritually, keep him running in the direction that God would have him to go. But the very next verse says, you shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. One of your children actually asked me one time, what I like most about being the preacher? I said, well, I get to be able to say the words from the pulpit that my mama told me never to say. And then I said, really it is that I like to, favorite thing is that I'm able to see children and youth and teenagers and students and adults come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, know that they're going to heaven and they're not going to hell. Proverbs 29 and verse 15 says, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Oh, we could speak about every one of these, but time does not allow. Proverbs 29:17 says, correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. You know, the question is really not if you think spanking a child is right or not. Already, some are probably up in arms because we've talked about beating children, and I don't think that's what Solomon had in mind. But you must believe in training and correction. Some children don't need to be spanked. My goodness, you just give them a stern look and some of them fall all over themselves. But with guidance, you want to show godly love and discipline. Your children should know how much you love them. And it's okay if they think that you're a strict disciplinarian as long as you do it in love, because if you are seeking to be strict but not showing love, it surely will lead to rebellion. But if you're seeking to show love and no discipline, which Solomon would say there is no such thing, but if you're seeking to do that, then certainly it will lead them down the wrong path. Proverbs 31, verses 27 and 28, speaking of the Proverbs lady, she looks well to the ways of her household, does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. How? You pursue godly training by pursuing Jesus, the master teacher. You pursue godly training by pursuing Jesus, the master teacher. If you want to discipline your children, but you're not following the ways of Christian disciplines, well, that can only go so far. you will only have so much success. Here's a bonus proverb, and I'll tell you now that this, my children heard this, my girls heard this quite often. Like a gold ring and a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. Feel free to think about that for a moment. How about for children? What are some tools from Proverbs for your children? Well, you see, there's lots that are listed there, and I know what you're thinking. Man, all the preacher's got to do is list verses and read them, and then he's done. Well, anybody could do that. Well, I'm anybody. Actually, I think I'm more like the song says, I'm nobody trying to tell everybody about the somebody that saved my soul. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is sorrow to his mother. Proverbs 13, 1, a wise son hears his father's instructions, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Proverbs 15, 5, a fool despises his father's instructions, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent. Proverbs 15, 20, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. You need to understand that these proverbs are not just for children who are young or living in the home, but for all of us who are children. Proverbs 17, 25, a foolish son is grief to his father, bitterness to her who bore him. Proverbs 19, 26, he who does violence to his father chases away his mother as a son who brings shame and reproach. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 20, if one curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be cut out and be put out in utter darkness. Proverbs 23 and verse 22, listen to your father who gave you life and do not despise your mother when she is old. Hopefully these are speaking to all of us. Proverbs 28, 7, the one who keeps the law is a son with understanding, but a companion of gluttons shames his father. Proverbs 28, 24, whoever robs his father or mother, who could imagine such things and says that's no transgression, is comparison to a man who destroys. In Proverbs 30, verse 11, there is a generation, and what generation is he talking about? There is a generation that curses his father and does not bless its mother. How do we as children follow the instructions that we find in Proverbs? We pursue obedience and honor by pursuing Jesus, the King of Kings. We pursue obedience and honor by pursuing Jesus, the King of Kings. All authority belongs to Christ, the risen Savior. And one day we recognize that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Children in the home. Children in the home. Now we're talking about children who are younger, living in the home. They please Jesus by obeying and being obedient to the parents. Children of all ages, we honor and please Jesus by honoring and respecting our parents. We please Jesus by honoring and respecting our parents. Here's a bonus proverb that I debated. Since I've shared all these others, I might as well share this one. From Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 17, the eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. Kind of a vivid picture of disregarding parental authority. Surely hyperbole to make a point, to mean there are consequences for disobeying. Again, a reminder that we have all fallen short and must rely not on our own works but on the grace of God. But we believe these biblical principles are beneficial and crucial to a godly home. These, however, are not the means to salvation. They can cause us to beware of our need for Christ and that we need Him. And even today, as we're talking about the home, and maybe there's somebody here today or somebody listening today that doesn't know Christ as their Lord and Savior, but they know that they need some help in their home, as most people do. Recognize we don't find it among ourselves, but only in a living and growing relationship with the Lord Jesus. And today, there may be someone that needs to give their heart and life to Christ. I'll often talk to children about accepting Jesus, and we begin to talk about sin. I'll tell them, you know, there's consequences of sin. And I, you know, sometimes when I was younger, and I disobeyed my parents, I'd get a spanking. And then when I got to school, I said, now don't tell anybody, and y'all don't tell anybody either, okay? But I'd say I often get a paddling from teachers, coaches, or principles, more than one along the way. That, now, raise your hand if you know what a paddling is. We have a generation that have no idea. I've had to explain to them. They look at me and they have no idea what a paddling is. Well, it's a spanking with a board. And I asked the child, and some of you here, your parents here, because you've been in these conversations with me, I'll say, I want you to pretend for just a moment that you're in trouble. You did something wrong. I know you really didn't, but let's just pretend you did something wrong. Everybody knows you did wrong. Your parents know it. Not your parent, but your teachers know it, and everybody in your class knows it, so they send you to the principal's office. And there at the principal, says, well, I've called your parents. They said it's okay. I'm going to pull out a paddle. And they pull out the board. And if I'm doing this right, I'll tell them, I'll say, now, they'll tell you that this board is about to fall because of what you did wrong. I want you to turn around. I want you to be ready. If I'm doing this right, their eyes are getting a little bit wider now. And I say, then suddenly somebody burst into the room and they say, don't give them their paddling. I'll take it for them. How would that make you feel? Most of them say, oh, I'd be really happy about that. Do you know that's what Jesus did for us? When he died for us on the cross, he let us know that he took our punishment for us, took our sins to the cross for us, so that we might be able to have a real, living, growing relationship with him, so that we might be able to be God's representative even in the home. These are principles to live by. And at the same time, they recognize that we sure have a need for a Savior. Now, I'm going to mention several seasons of life, kind of to help us conclude some of the verses that we read. You never knew. Hey, we might have set a record of the most verses ever read, perhaps, at Parkway Baptist Church in one sermon, but our most different verses anyway. But we're talking about seasons of life, and if these seasons, you may want to jot down all of these, or it may be that the season that pertains to you, some conclusions that we can come and we can find from these verses in Proverbs, such as, if you're single or single again, if you're single or single again, then maximize your singleness to advance the gospel. Even if you plan or hope to be married one day, realize the time and attention that can be given to the Lord and can be given to serving others. See your season of singleness as a gift for the Lord for whatever time the Lord gives this season. You might remember the Apostle Paul talked about this very thing. He knows you. He loves you. He cares for you more than you can even fathom. His purpose for you and your spiritual intimacy with the Lord Jesus can and should be at a maximum level. Just as Adam was without Eve for a time and slept while God made his wife Eve from the rib of Adam, so God does his best work when you trust and you rest in him. Well, if you're married, then love your spouse in a way that promotes the gospel. Husbands, love your wife sacrificially, recognizing your marriage reflects the relationship of Christ and his church. Wives, respect and honor your husband by helping to build him up spiritually in Jesus so that he might be the spiritual leader that the Lord has called him to be. If you are divorced, then seek the Lord for assurance and guidance for today and for the future. As some of you know, divorce can be very tough. It can be even tougher than the loss or the death of a loved one. Seek God's presence every day. If there's unresolved sins that you need to confess, be sure that you confess those and genuinely seek forgiveness. And then believe that God has totally forgiven you. God does not forgive partially, but he forgives totally. Be reassured of his forgiveness, and it's okay to forgive yourself. And if you have not forgiven someone, then you need to do this very thing. You'll need to forgive before you can move forward. And yes, forgiving is possible. If Christ has forgiven you, you must forgive others, even the worst offender. And the power of Christ in you makes forgiveness and forgiving possible. If you are divorced and remarried, even if your divorce was not for biblical reasons, such as adultery or abandonment, then focusing on magnifying Christ with the spouse that you have now. Christ would not want you to break the marriage covenant as you have now. If you are considering a divorce, remember the power and the purpose of the gospel. Regardless of the conflict, Christ in you has the power to change the darkest and the hardest of hearts. Seek to please Christ first and foremost. Recognize the breakup of a marriage is never God's ideal and sadly signifies the breakup of Christ and the church. Speaking of family, I always believed, still do, that my dad could fix anything. Didn't matter what it was, something to do with the car, something in the house, even hurt feelings. He could fix anything. His mantra was pretty much, never pay somebody for a job that you can do yourself. I didn't always follow that along the way because he was a lot better at it than I was. I was always messing things up. I could take just about anything apart. Putting it back together wasn't always all that easy for me. Such as, just till just a few years ago, I always changed the oil in our cars. I just do it myself. But I always made a mess of it, particularly when I stripped the threads and cross-threaded the drain plug or left off the oil cap. You know the oil goes everywhere when you do that? That's where, as hard as I try, my dad and I are different. I make a mess of things, but to him, it was really never a problem. This is where we and our Heavenly Father are different. We can make a mess of things, even in our families, but to him, it's no problem. What we find hard to do is simple to God. Turn it over to him. Let him show you how it's done. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you even now. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you, Father, that we can come and we can trust in what your word says. Help us to recognize following the ways of God's word shows that we love and that we trust you. Help us to do that, particularly for the families. I pray for the families that we have here today, Father, that you may be with each one. And maybe something that was said today, one of the proverbs that we read, Father, certainly hit home to where we know that we need to make application for this and we need to continue in the direction that you have us going. As we pray for families that were affected by the hurricane this past week. Thank you for the church family and the giving that they had. And Father, we pray also for them, and we pray, Father, that many will be leaning and relying upon you. Thank you for those who are helping. Thank you for those who are also sharing Christ wherever they are. We pray for our country, Lord, and we pray, Father, for vote that's coming up. Pray that your will be done, but mostly, Father, that there'll be open doors to sharing the gospel. A great awakening will take place. Father, we pray, even as we know the deacon election is coming today, we want to put this into your hands, and we pray, Father, that the right men will be chosen, and we put the process of why we're doing it, and perfect as it is, Father, into your hands, and we thank you for the servant leaders of our church, both men and women. And now, Father, we pray for all those who are here in this room. Father, you know the things that we need to be doing, perhaps the things that we need to change, perhaps how what we need to do to be growing in the Lord and to make our homes godly homes to where you are always the center and other people can see Jesus in us. Pray that you may be at work today. Pray, Father, for those who don't know you as Lord and Savior, that today also may be a day of salvation, that they can call upon you. For they know hope for their home, hope for their family is found in Jesus. Hope for life and for eternal life. We lift these prayers up in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Would you please stand? As we sing our song of commitment today, we encourage you to follow the Lord's direction in your life. If you need to come giving your heart and life to Jesus, I, as well as many of our team members, are going to be standing right down here at the front. Encourage you to follow the direction you come and share with us that you've accepted Christ. Maybe you already have and you need to come for baptism or make it public today. If you're wanting to join Parkway Baptist Church, this is one way you can do it. You just come. I'm going to be standing down here. A couple of our staff members are here as well. You just come, let us know that you want to join today. We'll help you with those next steps. Prayer also is a key. Our altar's open if you'd like to come pray for your home, your family, other things you need to pray for. If you'd like for one of us to pray with you, we'll be glad to do that. As we sing together, you come.